Well, it's good to see everybody here today. Y'all doing okay?
Yeah.
It's a great Sunday already, isn't it?
Yes.
Man, it really was an awesome time of worship. I'm not just saying that. It's really cool to hear everybody. I don't know if y'all could hear it where you were, but where I was, I could hear everybody behind me singing. And there's just something that happens when we all come together and on the same page. And listen, my heart for us as a church is that first of all, that we can reach people. It's actually everything that you see. It says reaching people, building lives, because that's our church. It's who we are. And that we reach people with the truth that God knows them and loves them, has a purpose and plan for them. And then we build our lives on God's word. And when everybody's singing together, something happens like when we're all together. And so I'm encouraging you in this series to go all in with it. That means give it 100%. And, you know, Pastor Chris talked about the app, and that's great. You can connect with resources, relationships. You can watch videos. It's useful. But let me just encourage you as well just to really seek God on your own. Soul 30, it says, 30 days to a cleaner you. And I know that sounds an awful lot like self-help. And I know that our country spends a ridiculous, actually the world spends about almost $10 billion on self-help. When in reality, the truth that God has for us does help us, but it's not about self-help. You know what it's about? Self-denial and surrendering ourselves to God and to others. And so I'm taking this series and this season really seriously. Although I'm a pretty lighthearted, fun guy, I love to have fun, but I'm encouraging you to connect with God and connect with godly people so that you can grow. And in 30 days, you know what you'll find? You'll be more like him than you were like you 30 days prior, and it will be a cleaner you, but it's not because of you, it's because you've spent time with him. So here's what we are gonna do so that you can spend time with him and maybe with some other people. Every day during the week, we are going to open this facility at 6 a.m. I know it's early, 6 a.m. for prayer. So for the duration of this series, there'll be 6 a.m. prayer during the week, and there'll be 9 a.m. prayer on Sundays. And one of our pastors will lead during the week. Truthfully, I'm the earliest of all of our pastors, so it'll probably be me. And at least that's my plan. And then on Saturdays, for the late folks at 9 a.m., y'all can have 9 a.m. prayer with Pastor Josh Bigwood, who'll be leading that. But here's my charge and encouragement to you. Seek God. Soul 30 is about us taking time to deal with what really matters. And the fact of the matter is that it is souls for which Jesus died. So we're gonna dive right on in. Today's message is called The Restless Soul. And there's a truth that I want us to get before we talk about the restless soul and the restlessness of people's souls, is that we need to know the truth that we are not a body with a soul. We're a soul that happens to have a body. You know, we're three parts. If you missed last week, you can watch it online or either on the app or our website under past messages. But Pastor Stephen Martin from Vintage Church outside of Fort Hood, he spoke on the three parts that we are. We're body, we're soul, and we're spirit. And the moment that we surrender our life to Christ, we know this, that we come to life spiritually. But there's oftentimes, I'll say honestly, always some soul things that we have to deal with. And what are the soul things that we have to deal with? Well, since our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions, that's a lot to deal with. Has anybody here ever had trouble reeling in your mind? Probably so. Yeah, I get it. Has anybody here had trouble sticking to your will? Or your will sticking you in places you didn't want to be. Or your emotions going from what's really healthy. Emotions are great data. Like, they're things that we should not ignore, our emotions. But if your emotions go from being data to your dictator, you're going to be a crazy wreck. Has anybody ever had trouble with their soul, body, soul, our soul, mind, will, and emotions? Anybody here? So that's why we're doing Soul 30, because my heart is that you surrender spiritually. You come alive. Jesus talked to Nicodemus about being born again, that there's this life that wells up because you recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's God in human flesh. He came so that we can know him. And you surrender your life to him, spiritually born again. But the soul, we have to fight it. And the body too. How many of you fight your body on the regular? I do. Because my body wants all sorts of stuff. Things that taste great but are terrible for you. Yeah. I'm just going to be honest. I have an addictive personality when it comes to food. I'm addicted to good food. Carbs in particular, though I'm not going to discriminate against good meat because I love a good steak. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Listen, we fight. Listen to me. We are three parts and we fight in three parts. Today, though, I want to talk to you about the restless soul, and that you need to know that we're not a body with a soul. We're a soul with a body. Why is that important? because I want you to understand where the main fight is. So it's so easy to wake up every day and live life completely in the physical. In every struggle that we have, we think that it's something physical, when in reality, it's the least of the three, because this body will pass away. In fact, this body is not even who I am. I mean, it is. I know I'm Todd Schumacher. I'm Robert Todd Schumacher. Y'all probably didn't know my first name was Robert. Don't call me Bobby. We'll fight. I know I'm Robert Todd Schumacher. I was born August 21st, 1975. I know that I'm a white dude, but the reality is all of that will pass away. All because this is fleeting. And it never ceases to amaze me how I grew up being told this. The older I get, the more I realize it's true, is that every individual is a highly intelligent person, but people are stupid. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? But it's true. And we divide ourselves by the color of our skin. How ridiculous is that? That we ascribe certain traits to it. It's just absolutely insane. I don't get it. And it's amazing how easy it is to live in this physical world and think that that's all there is, but there's not. The Bible says eternity is written on the hearts of men, and it's so true, because no healthy person wants to die, because they know that there's something that's worth living for, even if they don't know what it is. Why is it important that we are more than just a body with a soul, but we're a soul with a body? It's because it speaks to priority and the order of things as they should be. If you're here and you live purely in the physical, you'll get your reward only in the physical. And in the end, it's pretty meaningless. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became, everybody say it with me, a living soul. In other words, the body was there, but until God breathed on them, there was no real life. There was no soul. And my prayer is that God breathes on us and that we receive that today. God, I may be sitting here sucking wind, like I'm breathing, I get it. But Lord, I need you to come and bring significance, substance, and spiritual life to me today. That's why we're talking about the restless soul. We're not just a body with a soul, we're the soul with a body. Why does it matter? Because if we live purely in the flesh, we'll end up stinking. Okay, I love this restaurant, so y'all don't hate me on it, and it's a good restaurant, but it had a ventilation problem for a lot of years, but it didn't keep me from going there. It's El Tapatio. Man, I love, there's nothing better than a good taqueria. I'm just saying, there's nothing better than a good taqueria. I was on the road all this week in Texas, and I got to have breakfast every morning. Chorizo, tocina, huevos, it's great stuff. Oh, but I love going to El Tap. For years, every time I went to El Tap, when I came back to the office, as soon as I'd get around anybody, I could be 10 feet from them, they'd look at me and they'd go, "You've been to El Tapatio, haven't you?" At first, I was like, "What are you talking about? Like, what is that, like a prophetic word? Like you just can know God's spoken to you. You have been at El Tapatio." How many of y'all have eaten at El Tapatio? Come on. It's like everybody, like not this side. I don't know what's the matter. This must be the far from God side. Everybody here went, we all have. I'm picking on y'all. It was great. It was wonderful, except their ventilation was no good. And so you walked out of there, they're frying up the fajitas and everything. And you walk out smelling like a fried fajita. And then they fixed their ventilation. It's way the heck better. And so you won't walk out smelling like you're a fajita. So what's my point in all of this? It's very easy to smell like the places that you've been. So why is it important? Like we're not just a body with a soul. We're a soul with a body. Because if we live in the physical everywhere that we go, we're going to pick up the junk and the stuff you don't want to pick up because of where you've been. And where you've been is determined by your mind, your will, and your emotions. Are you following me here? So why is it important that we recognize that we don't need to be led by our mind, by our will, by our emotions, but that we have the mind of Christ, that our will is submitted to God's and our emotions are kept in check by his truth, resonating with us more than any emotions that may try to pull us in any direction. Making sense here, guys? Good. Ecclesiastes 2, 22 and 23. What do people get for all the toil and the anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? Look at this. All their days, their work is grief and pain. Have you ever felt like that? My work is grief and pain. It's miserable existence. Even at night, look at this. Their minds do not rest. Their minds don't rest. Are you able to lay in bed at night and have perfect peace in your mind? Or is your mind constantly running, constantly wandering? Look at Genesis 4, 11 and 12. It says, you're under a curse. This is actually the curse of Cain after he killed his brother. You're under a curse driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You'll be a restless wanderer on the earth. Sadly, I think that defines a lot of Christians. They restlessly wander from one thing to, they've given their life to Christ, they've had a revelation of Jesus, but they still wander from one thing to another. Will this satisfy me? No. Let me find something else. Will this fulfill me? No. Maybe this will fix everything. No. Another job, another city, another relationship, another person, another hobby, another whatever it is. Restlessly wandering. Why? Because they're living in the curse and not the promise that God has for us. I hope you guys are following me on this. And that they lay in bed at night and their mind just runs crazy. And it's like they can't shut it off. How many of you here, you don't have to raise your hands, this is a rhetorical question. That means you don't have to answer it. How many of you here, maybe you feel like you can't bring peace to your soul? Like maybe it's you laying in bed at night with your mind racing. Maybe you feel like you're just wound up tight. How do we find rest for our souls? Really, where do we find rest for our souls? That's the biggest question. Where do we find it? Here's what I want you to know, that our souls find rest in God alone. Our soul finds rest in God alone. Psalm 62, much of what we're going to look at scripturally today is from David, the life of David. Man, he's an enigma. He was a guy that the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. He did some of the most amazing things. This is the David that killed the Goliath, the giant. It's David that really brought about the Israel that was at its greatest. It's also the David who was the adulterer, murderer. He was just this enigma of a person. And yet he writes, truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. The patriarch Augustine wrote, you've made us for yourself, O Lord, and our soul is restless until it finds rest in you. And my favorite scripture of all about where we find rest, Matthew 11, 28 and 29, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I'll give you rest. But I want us to look at this. Come to me. Everybody say, come to me. Come on, let's do it louder. Come to me. Everybody wants rest. And here's what I've found, is that we find ourselves in a situation that we hate, that we feel like we're just wandering aimlessly, that our mind is racing, that this is this horrible situation, and we're going, Jesus, I need you right now. And Jesus' response to us is, come to me. And so often, we don't want to go to him. We want him to come to us. But listen to me carefully. It doesn't work that way. He wants us to come to him. He knows where we are. And he's waiting for us to come to him, which is why he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. And let me just tell you, the tactic of the enemy is to say, how could God, he said, come to me. Like, doesn't he know what I'm going through? Like, and you've probably, maybe this has been you. God, don't you know what I'm going through? Don't you know what's happening? Can't you see everything that's going on? Like, why don't you just show up? And let me just tell you, the question is never, God, where are you? Because he's with us. The question is always, am I with him? There's something that this isn't a physical thing. Come to me. That doesn't mean show up at the 11 o'clock service at Church of the King, 2145 Oak Park Boulevard, Lake Charles, Louisiana. It's you and your heart saying, come to me. I don't think I have my phone here. I was going to share something with y'all. Oh, well, throw it here, baby. Or Christopher, throw it. My wife will hand it. Did y'all notice that? Refined women always hand things. I'm going to share something that was texted to me today by a pastor friend from South Africa. My prayer for you today comes from two scriptures, Psalms 145:14. God gives a hand to those who are down on their luck. This is the Message version, so it's a paraphrase. God gives a hand to those down on their luck. He gives a fresh start to those who are ready to quit. God's hand is there, but he's waiting for us to come to him. If you have little kids, you've probably experienced the phenomenon where they get hurt and they're crying and they want help, but they also don't want you to touch them or be by them. Have you ever experienced that? Well, let me help you, baby. Like, you're there, but like, what can you do? And anytime you try and reach out, like, they're like screaming louder and rejecting you. Has that happened to any parent here? Crazy kids. I love my children. They're wonderful, smart, intelligent people, but sometimes when they get hurt, they've been real dumb. No, don't touch me. No, don't touch. Let me just tell you, pulling away because of pain from the person who can heal you is always a mark of immaturity. Come to me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. But you've got to come to him. And let me just tell you, so many people think, well, I come to Jesus and he's going to take all of the weight off. He gives us rest. I'm going to read it again. If you're weary and you're burdened, come to me, I'll give you rest. And then look what he says, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus doesn't come and he'll give us rest, but the burden that he takes away is the burden of the world. And he puts a healthy and whole burden on us from him so that we can find rest. And here's the burden of God. It's the burden for holiness. Holiness isn't about sin. Holiness is about being used by God. And sin is what keeps us from being used by God. It's also the thing that keeps many people in the place of pain. Where do we find rest? In God, but we've got to come to him. He's going to put some stuff on us. And at first, it may feel like a little bit of a load and some pain, but it's going to bring you rest. Because you know what he puts on you? The truth. What's the truth? My foot hurts. I was diagnosed with plantar fasciitis. I could pray that away. You don't know the truth of where it came from, though? The truth of where it came from was when I was with Pastor Matt Murray this week from the UK on this trip of Texas. We were going to meet a bunch of our family of churches, pastors. We wanted to exercise. I'm pretty good at working out and exercising, and he's not, but he's a lot younger than me. And so we decided to run. And so I hate running. I don't think normal people like to run. Like, unless somebody's chasing me, yeah, I'm not running. And even then, they better be a tough guy. And so I decided to run. And so I ran a lot faster than this guy, even though he's 10 years younger than me. And I wanted to run faster and farther. And because here's the truth, I like winning. I don't like to lose. Anybody here, you like to win? Yeah. And like, I could pray like, God, heal my foot. And people have prayed that for me, and I appreciate it very much. But also, here's the truth. I was a competitive idiot. Yeah. Here's the burden that God puts on us. It's the burden of truth. So easy to blame the devil. Look what the devil did to me, when most of the time I've done it to myself. Does this make sense? And this is not negating the power of God to intervene in a situation. My foot feels great. It feels awesome. Could be the 1,000 milligrams of ibuprofen. I don't know. What's my point? God gives rest to our souls. Where does our rest come from? Him. Come to him, and he'll speak to you truth. My shoulders were jacked up and hurting forever. You know why? Because I was an idiot and doing things that I shouldn't be doing. Here's the truth that God spoke to me through people. You're stupid. You can't keep going and getting your shoulders fixed up and sticking needles in them so they get better. Just stop doing the things that you're doing. Let me tell you, the truth that God speaks to us is a call to him, and it's a call to his purpose, and it's always holiness. And holiness is about being used by God. I kind of digress. Y'all following me here? Because I want you to get, where do our souls find rest? It's in God. But how do we find that rest in God? Very practical. Three quick things. Here's the first one. Number one, be still before God. Be still before God. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Psalms 131:2 says, but I've stilled and quieted my soul. I've stilled and quieted my soul. Let me just tell you, sometimes as your mind's racing, as your soul is racing, you've got to learn how to be still. And sometimes it's like being in a car with a bunch of kids. I know because I have four kids and we've taken really long road trips. 2 years ago, we went to see Lisa's family in Tucson. That's a 22-hour drive one way with four kids that are all like, I'm over there. Don't touch me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And at some point, you just want to just go, shut up! Everybody shut up! Dad is going to lose his mind. That's probably not an exaggeration, right? No, shake your head. That's an exaggeration. Don't. I remember when I was a kid, my dad was in school in New Orleans, but we had a house in Jennings, so we're living during the week in New Orleans and coming home to Jennings on the weekends. We did that for 3 years, and I remember very clearly one time, it was crazy. We were rolling down I-10 right through Baton Rouge in the old Delta 88. Y'all remember that? Yeah, the Delta 88. This was a fancy car. I like plush bench seats, electric windows. My mama hit the jackpot with that. And we're rolling, and my sister and I are fighting, which is like the norm. It's all her. It's never me. And and so we're arguing and we're fighting, and it's one of those moments where it's just kind of tense and crazy. And my dad's like doing the whole reach behind and try and hit you, but it's a bench seat, and he can't really get his arm all the way. So he's like, "Ah, yo, shut up, or I'll kill you!" And you're like, "Whoa!" And then, "Yeah, I got you, sucker. You're not gonna hit me." And so I'm making it worse, and so I decide on I-10 to roll down my window and like be crazy, like ah, and stick my head and my hand out of the window. But I forgot that my dad had the real fancy Delta 88 with the four controllers up by him where he could control all the windows. And so I stick my head out like, ah! And he starts to roll it up. We're like, whoa, I stick my head out, but I'm still like, ah! And he rolls up my finger. And I'm screaming, and like, ah! And he's yelling, "That's what you get for being crazy. You need to shut up. Everybody just calm down in this vehicle." And my mom's hitting him like, "Chris, stop it, stop it." It was insane. He rolls it down because my mom's pitching a fit, and then he rolls it back up, and I'm crying. He's like, "It doesn't hurt. I promise it doesn't hurt. Watch, I'm going to prove it to you." And so he's driving, and he knee rolled down the window, sticks his finger out, very intelligent man, and he rolls up his own finger in the window. He's like, dang, like, oh, God, and then he starts jumping and crazy. The car is going everywhere. Everybody's screaming. It was hilarious. And sometimes our mind is just like that. Sometimes our mind is just like that, and we have to know how to be still. How do we find rest in God? How do we find rest in God? We choose to be still. For a lot of years, I've said, I have got a great gift, and my wife will attest to how this is true, and I have this great gift, and my great gift is the ability to not think. Till I realized, and she'll tell you, it's true, until I realized it wasn't a gift. It's a skill. Y'all are laughing at me. Probably the same people that lie awake at night till 3 a.m. with everything rolling in their brain and like they can't shut stuff up. Listen to me. being still. I'm going to read Psalms 46:10 again. Be still and know that I am God. This is a what issue. What do you have to do? You have to be still. What does that look like? Time it. 5 minutes. You're going to sit in a chair. You're going to sit down on the floor. You're going to sit in your car. Nothing else. You're going to put everything out of your mind, and you're just going to dwell on the goodness of God. Maybe you're like me, and you'll like, I'll just recite like a scripture that I have in front of me. I'll just read that scripture and set my mind on God. I will not allow anything external in. It is a moment of solitude and quiet, and I'll read through. I have daily declarations that I read through that I know sound kind of hokey, but I'll read through that, and I'll focus on God's goodness in my life and what he wants to do in me and through me. Be still. How do we find rest in God? Be still. Here's the second thing. Wait patiently for God. Psalms 37:7 says, be still before the Lord and know and wait patiently for him. Wait patiently. I'm gonna tell you all another story from my childhood because I think it applies. It's on waiting. I'm only good at waiting because I have to. Patience is a skill. Let me just tell you right now, if you want patience, you can pray for it. But when you pray for patience, you know what you're gonna get? Like you're like, God, I'm a guy, my commute is kind of crazy. And like, I get frustrated with people on the road. I'm just speaking from personal experience. Perhaps maybe I've had some like road rage type incidents where I'm like, and so Lord, you just got to help me. God, I'm praying that you give me patience. And I've done this. And you know what God gives me? Every time. He gives me every red light and the old lady that's real slow in front of me that I can't pass. It's a skill. God's not going to give you patience. He's going to give you the opportunity to wait patiently for him. When I was 12 years old, for Christmas, more than anything, I wanted a guitar. I'd started playing guitar. I still play guitar. But I wanted this Yamaha guitar. It was still kind of a starter guitar. It was a Yamaha, I'll never forget it. A white APX-6, had a white body and a top and a graphite body and had a cutaway that I thought was real cool. 12 years old, and my good friend, I was playing with him. He's actually in the sound booth. I wanted this guitar more than anything, and I kept hinting, and then it went from hints to like telling my parents, this is what I want for Christmas. And one day, I'm at the kitchen sink, and I see the UPS man drive up. My dad's out in his shop, and the UPS man drives up, and he takes this triangular-shaped guitar-sized box and gives it to my dad. And I'm watching, and my dad goes and puts it in his shed. And I'm thinking, that's a guitar. And I wait till the next day, and then when nobody's around, nobody's looking, you know what I do? I go out there, and I look, and I go find the box. It's hidden. I find it. I open it up very carefully so nobody can tell that it's open. And I look in it and I see a white Yamaha APX guitar. And the moment I looked at it, I felt sick. Not because I was sneaky. I was always sneaky. It's 12. Every 12-year-old is. Because I knew I'd ruined what my father had planned for me. And on Christmas morning, honestly, it was miserable. Because my dad, my mom, they gave me the gift and had to open it up and act like I was surprised. What my dad had planned for me was ruined because I refused to wait. Be still, wait patiently. And the third thing, as we wrap up, you know what? No, before I do that, let me go through these because it's in the notes and y'all will hound me if I don't get the blanks filled in. Wait patiently for God. While you're waiting, here's what you should ask. Just a few things. What do you want to say to me? God, what do you want to say to me? Lord, what is it you want to say to me? When you're still, when you're waiting patiently, Lord, is there anything you want to say to me? He'll speak to you. Maybe part of your time being quiet and still before him is quietly reading his word and saying, Lord, show me something. What do you want to show me, God? That's the second thing you should probably ask. What do you want to say? What do you want to show me? And then here's the third thing. What do you want to do in me, God? Lord, I'm going to be still before you. You want to get to the place where you're not driven by your body, your mind, your will, or your emotions. You get into the presence of God. You wait patiently. Say, Lord, what do you want to say? Lord, what do you want to show me? Lord, what do you want to do in me? And here's the last thing as we wrap up. Number three, reflect on God's goodness. The Bible says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above. Every good thing in our life comes from God. I want you to think about that. Every good thing in your life comes from God. We can live very, very simply. If we live in the presence of God, if we wait patiently on Him, and if we reflect on His goodness, the byproduct is peace. Lord, I'm going to be still in your presence. Lord, I'm going to wait patiently on you. God, I'm going to have an attitude of gratitude, and I'm going to thank you for every good thing in my life. The byproduct is peace. Stop searching for peace and start living in the presence of God. Soul 30 is not about self-help. It's about being Spirit-led. And you'll never be led by the Spirit of God unless you spend time with Him. Psalms 116 says, be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. I just want you to think, where has God been good to you? So many places. You know, my wife and I are walking through a trial right now, actually a couple, three trials. And my wife is just, even yesterday, just saying, in spite of all of this, and she did this, she said, I know God has me right here. I'm right in the middle of His hand. I know that. And I've told Him, no matter what He wants me to walk through, I'll walk through it. And I won't walk away. How can she say that? Because we know God is good. Listen to me, people are not always good. I would say people want to be good, but they're primarily not good. That's why we have so many broken relationships, broken things. People want to be good. They're just incapable of doing that in their own spirit. This world is some wonderful things, but it's a broken and messed up world. But let me remind you of this. God is good. And if you lay in bed at night and your mind is racing and you just feel like this restless wanderer going from one thing to the next, God is here today and He's saying, trust me. Let's bow our heads. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're far from God, and today you recognize that God is here, that He's dealing with you right now, and you realize, man, I'm just a restless wanderer. I'm the person that lays in bed just trying to find fulfillment. My mind is racing. I can't seem to get a grasp on life. And let me tell you, God is here, and He's saying to you, come to Him. Jesus is speaking to you. Come to me. Maybe that's you. You're far from God. Or maybe you're here and you've surrendered your life to Christ. But you know that today's message is for you. Though you've had an encounter with Him and you've surrendered all to Him, your body and your soul has been keeping you from the place spiritually you need to be. And today, He's speaking to you. Come to me. Come to me. Nobody's looking around, and I won't embarrass you, but if you're here and you say, Pastor, this message is for me. It's for me. I want to pray for you right where you are. If that's you, just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. Raise them high. Come on, don't be ashamed. Lots of people. Oh, Father, I just pray that you meet everyone with their hand raised. Keep them up. Father, may you meet them. As they come to you, may you meet them. Let's just all of us just pray right now. Say, dear Jesus, I surrender to you. I turn from myself, from my will, from my way, from my wandering. I step into the middle of your hand. Cleanse me of my sin, Jesus. I receive your forgiveness. I trust you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. Y'all can look up here. Man, May we find rest. And I'm telling you, listen, if that was you, we had a lot of people raise your hands. Here's what I'm going to ask you, two things. The first one, let us know what's going on. Take the connection card in the seat back in front of you or fill it out on the app and check off what it is that God's doing in you. My heart as a pastor is to be able to connect you with resources and relationships that can help you grow. The second thing is our ministry team will be up here at the end of the service today when Pastor Chris dismisses us. If you need prayer, don't walk out of here without praying with someone. Well, I love being your pastor. It's an honor and a privilege. And I know this, best is yet to come. God bless.